a Christian. Are you a follower of Christ? There again, I didn't ask you, do you say you're a Christian? Do you say that you're a follower of Christ? I asked you, are you? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? See, the word Christian means to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like, you have to follow him. Well, how do I know whether I'm following? Well, you got to look into the book. Amen. The teachings which he's teaching. You see, the true follower of Christ will put all the things of this world behind Christ. That is, Christ will be first and foremost in his life. First four verses of chapter 6. He said, giving for the praise of men. The next four verses, he said, praying for the same, for the praise of men. The next three verses, fasting for the same reason, for the praise of men. All in an effort to seem very spiritual, very religious. And in our verses last week, he said, laying up treasures here on earth. All of which are hypocritical for a true disciple. We see that the true follower of Christ is to put Christ before the things of this world. Everything that is of this world that man puts value upon is perishable. It'll pass away. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 2. Of course, after telling us, love not the world, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. The desires and the passions of man pass away. They're not going to endure. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you a Christian? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Are all must be given to Him. Oh, we sing songs like, I surrender all, and all for Jesus. But have we given all? And if we have, then why do we fret and worry about the necessities? Why do we trouble ourselves over them? Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Another passage of scripture that is familiar. Or at least, if it's not, it ought to be. Chapter 12. In verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to brethren. He's talking to those who are the true disciples of Christ, the true followers of Christ, those who have had a life that has been born again. Amen. Through repentance of our sins toward God, which all sin is against God, so it must be repented of, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies in our life as a child of God are to be a sacrifice. That is, they're to be put behind everything. Because the desires and passions of this body are not towards God. And God is to be first. Holy! Yeah, our life is to be a life that is lived in holiness. You want to know what holiness is? You better get in the Word and see God. Because God's holy. Acceptable unto God. You see, anything less than holy is not acceptable to God. Anything that is putting this body first is not acceptable to God. That's sobering, isn't it? Isn't it? I've got to watch my English. Which is your reasonable service? it's just that which is logical as a child of God. It's logical for a child of God to sacrifice his fleshly body and live a holy life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. That's only logical. For me? And for you. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And be not conformed to this world. Why do we... If we're not to be conformed to this world, then why are our lives conformed to this world? Why are they patterned after this world? Why do we look to the standards of the world? We ought to be looking to the standard of God and be transformed, be changed. There's a change that is to come over us, a change that is to take in place. And he says that's done by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind from being a worldly mind to being a godly mind? You've got to immerse it in the Word of God. And how do you immerse it in the Word of God? You immerse it in the things which you hear, the things which you read, the things which you study of the Word of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, if we don't transform our minds, if we live in lives that are conformed, patterned after this world, then we're not proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's not God's will for us. That's not God's will for His children. In the world is to see in us God's will for them as well as us. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And listen, that is common to every man, and our being conformed to this world is because of our pride. Because we think too much of this body. And we don't think enough of God, of Jesus Christ, the one who died and gave his life that we might have eternal life through repentance and faith. He wants my heart. He wants your heart. Look with me at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You see, if you let them depart from your eyes, then you're not going to keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Watch over it. Guard it with all diligence. With all place of confinement. Imprison it. That's what that word diligent means. We're to imprison our heart to what? To the Word of God that it's in our heart. Because when it's in our heart, that's when our lives will be, and our minds are transformed, and our lives will be conformed to the things of God and not conformed to the things of this world. We will live holy lives, acceptable and pleasing unto God. Turn with me to the book, back a few pages to Psalms 108. Psalms 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. My heart is firm. My heart is established. He's crying out, saying to God, my heart is fixed. It is firm. It is established upon you, O God. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Most of the commentary said glory is he's speaking of his tongue. Well, all I know is what the word means in the Hebrew, and it means honor. And so if I will praise him with my honor, then that is what honor I have received because of doing the will of God, my heart being firm, established upon God. That honor, I just turn around and praise him with it. I'll give you an example. I've tried to practice this in all of my life as a minister and a pastor of one of the Lord's churches and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when someone thanks me for a message or says that was a good message, I say, praise the Lord! It wasn't me at all, you see, but it was God being honored through me.
So praise the Lord.
No praise to me. It was him that gets the praise. He's deserving of it. Our heart will be where our treasure is. If our desires are heavenly, so will our hearts be heavenly. Dealt with that last week in verse 21 of the sixth chapter here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're laying up in store things upon earth, or you're just manifesting that your heart is set upon those things. We're not to worry about the things of this life, but we're to continue to look upon the things of God by faith. By faith. That He will provide. He'll take care of our need. Philippians 4 in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? I dare say that everyone here loves the 23rd Psalm. It sure is referenced enough. It's referenced in almost every funeral service. As though it was a psalm for the dead. It's not a psalm for the dead, it's a psalm for the living. Verse 1, what's that verse 1 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word want does not mean what we think want means. I have three grandchildren there and they have a lot of wants. Mom and Dad don't always give them what they want. But that word want here means need. I will not lack.
I will not lack anything that I need. That's what that word means in the Hebrew.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack any. I shall not have lack of anything that I need. Not what I desire, but what I need. And you've all got it by now, right? He determines what we need. If it's pertinent to the sustenance of this life, but as you're going to see later on, not only this life, but our spiritual life, which is the more needful thing, he sees to it that both the physical and the spiritual are tended to and taken care of.
And we'll quote that psalm in at least the first verse, but we don't mean it. We don't trust him for it. We think we got to help him out, just like men think they got to help him out and getting saved.
Listen, is God sovereign? Is God almighty? And what's he need my help for? He doesn't need my help. As if I could help him. As if you could help him. He has given us physical life. And even more important than that, he's given us spiritual life. If we have spiritual life. And as we've already stated, he sees to both of them that they're taken care of. Because we have, in this life, we have need of certain things. And we definitely have need of spiritual things. Shall he not provide that which is needed for the sustenance of those lives, the physical and the spiritual? Shall he not provide what's needed? We read this verse last week, but turn with me again there to the book of Romans, chapter 8. In verse 32. And I want to give emphasis to this 32nd verse this morning. He that spared not his own son. Who is he talking about? He's talking about God.
Amen.
He's talking about my Father. Is he talking about your Father? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. All things that are pertinent to the spiritual. As well as all things that are pertinent to the physical. Where's your storehouse? Where's your barn? Where's your bank? Is it on earth? Or is it in heaven? Who's your master? Is God your master? Or are the things of this world your master? And thus being your, therefore being your God. Oh, I don't, you didn't like the sound of that? Well, that's what it is. You see, you cannot have a divided allegiance. Covered that last week. Call this an introduction to this week, or call this a review of the past several weeks. Our allegiance can't be divided. Contrary to what many folks think, as we said last week, you can't
have one foot in the world serving the things of the world, and at the same time, the other foot over here serving the things of God. God said, it can't be.
It won't work. He requires our all. And if God is your master, if God is your master, if your Father is the Heavenly Father, then, he says, first of all, do not worry about necessities. Getting into our verses today. Do not worry about necessities. The words, take no thought, mean to do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not be overly concerned with. Don't be troubled about them. Turn with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. The book of Philippians in chapter 4. In verse 6, he said, be careful. For nothing. That word careful is the same Greek word that we have back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Take no thought. It's the same Greek word. Do not be anxious about it. Do not worry. Don't be over troubled with. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You have a need, take it to God. Or at least if you think you have a need, take it to God. Sometimes He shows you can get along just fine without it. I found that out on many occasions. I don't need half of what I thought I needed. I want to read the next two verses because I think they go right along with what I thought. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, I've experienced that. It's amazing what peace comes in your heart when you just turn everything over to Him. And trust Him for it. And like I said, find out you don't need some of the things you thought you did. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. Listen, what are these things? What are these things that are honest and that are just and true? What are these things? Well, He pointed him out. Jesus pointed him out to us in our start on the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5. And known as the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man. In other words, Jesus fills and meets all those. So think on Jesus. Meditate upon Jesus. Trust Him to take care of your need. And if you're trusting Him, then you'll not worry. You'll not be overly concerned about those things. Jesus is not here in our text suggesting that we not work and provide for life. He's not promoting slothfulness. That would be contrary to what he says in other parts of the scriptures. A person has to take care of his responsibilities. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 27. In verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. What is he saying? Give care and concern for the physical aspect, for your wealth, your riches, and the things that are needful. And he said, and what goes along with that, you might be surprised to know it, but study it out. What goes along with that is don't let your expenses over exceed your income. We want something, we go out, we put it on credit. Is that over exceeding our income?
Well, we're certainly paying a lot of interest.
I know a lot of people have gone out and bought house, cars on credit, and then they had to take another job to pay to meet the payments. What are they doing? What are we doing when we do that? We're becoming slaves to the things of the world.
Instead of trusting God, trusting Jesus.
1 Timothy. Book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. This might surprise some of you, but then maybe not. Matthew, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Now he's going to explain what he means by that. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. Let those children and those nephews, yes, you're to You're to take care of your aunts and your uncles and your mother and father. And to require to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed, and desolate. In other words, she doesn't have those children. She doesn't have nephews. She doesn't have anyone in her family line to take care of her. She's a widow all alone. And desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. In other words, that those children and those nephews, anyone in her family, may be blameless. Charge them to take care of them, that they might be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, if any child, if any nephew, anyone in the family line does not provide for his own, they are his own. And he is required to provide for them when they need it. And especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now that's God's word concerning it. We're to take care of our responsibilities. And under God's economy, that involves our family members, especially our own house. But it goes to mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles. We are required to take care of them if the time comes that they need us to take care of them. We are to work in order to eat. 2 Thessalonians. Well, this is not popular today. I know. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. In verse 8. Neither did we eat. The Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians, Thessalonican church. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In other words, the church at Thessalonica was probably a poor church, and so that they didn't have to provide. Paul said, we work. Those I did and those in my company, we work day and night to take care of our physical needs. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. He wanted to be an example to the Thessalonican church, that they would follow him. Notice what he says here. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. In other words, they're slothful. They won't work. And they go about in their having all this time to themselves, busying themselves in other people's matters, instead of taking care of their physical needs. In fact, Brother Jesse's come to this, a year or two ago. In fact, we're to work enough so that we have extra in order that we might give to others. Oh, that really goes against the grain, doesn't it? It goes against everything we've been taught, doesn't it? Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We'll just read it this morning because, eventually, in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, we're gonna get to it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Okay. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, you're to work to provide for yourself and your family, but you're also to work it so that you get enough extra to give to him that needeth. In those extended family members and your brothers and sisters in Christ,
yes,
even your fellow man, if it's so needed. What Jesus is talking about in these verses is being preoccupied with these things. He's not telling us to be slothful, not work, but he is telling us not to be preoccupied, not to be overly troubled with the necessities of life. Many of us fall into the trap of centering our minds and our energies on the necessities of life. And as I said earlier, if we would really trust God, sometimes we might find out that some of those things which we think are necessary aren't so necessary. As followers of Christ, we're not to be wrapped up and entangled with the affairs of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ doesn't entangle himself. A good soldier in the world doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, of the world. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ will not do the same. He'll not get entangled and wrapped up and ensnared by the cares and troubles of this life. He's not to be reaching for more and more and laying up in store. Remember the fool? Luke chapter 12. He did that. More and more, and he had to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns that would hold more, and now I can sit back and I'm all set for retirement. What would God say to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, he was concerned about the things of this life, the necessities of life, and he didn't give care and thought to the things which are eternal and the life hereafter. Well, we're going to quit there this morning. Let me say this. Jesus is giving his true disciples instructions. Instructions to trust him for the supplies and for the sustenance of life.
Not to lay up treasures on earth. To lay up treasures in heaven. Trust God. Trust in the Lord. Well, if you're here this morning and you've not repented of your sin, which is against God, so you've not repented truly of your sin towards God, and repentance demands, true repentance demands not only of being sorry and hating that sin, but turning from that sin. Turning to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith.
Amen.
You need to trust God.
Yes.
You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then you'll be able to trust him with the necessities of life. You'll not have to be all wrapped up in the cares and concerns of this life. Because as we're going to see later on, he said, you see, God, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things, all the necessities of life, will be taken care of. Will be added, will be given unto you. Brother Mike, shall we stand and have a song?